There's something in science called the observer effect. And when an observer, a scientist, expected a certain outcome in a scientific experiment, that certain outcome would happen more often. I mean, so yes, it's scientific. And, you know, there's such a deeper thing to what you're saying, that what we focus on, we create more of. What we look for, we see, right? Like you just said, well, when I look for that car, I see more of that car everywhere. Our stories and our focus creates, right?
Welcome to Make Bank with Marie Wold. I'm Marie, and for the last decade, I've been helping women set and hit unrealistic goals while building their definition of a rich life. This podcast is your ultimate destination for unfiltered discussions about personal development, entrepreneurship, wellness, confidence, wealth building, relationships, and so much more. We're creating our dream lives together, and I'm so glad you're here. Now let's jump into today's episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the pod. I have such a cool, exciting guest with us today. I want you to meet Stephanie Lefevre, who is the world's top happiness coach, best-selling author, international speaker, master manifester. She's fascinated with the law of attraction and all things spirituality, quantum physics, the Enneagram, biohacking, wellness. She is an expert on so many things, and she helps women custom design and create a soul happy life that they're wild and crazy about, because she believes that when we get happy, healthy, and own our soul experience, anything truly is possible. And not only is Stephanie a genius at many things, she's also a wife and a mom thriving through all the things life throws her way. So I know this conversation is going to be super juicy, super multifaceted. And I'm so happy to have you. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here. I know we have a lot in common. So yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So before we hit record, you and I were talking about how we both kind of go like way back in doing this work, whether it's coaching, creating content, that sort of thing. And you've been formally a coach in probably multiple ways for 12 plus years. But before that, you were already kind of like in that role or in that space. So tell us about like the background and how you came to be so multifaceted and like really collecting such a holistic and cool kind of like skill set.
Oh, fun. You know, I would look back and say I've had the elements of this woven throughout the fabrics of my life always. And when I look back at it, I go, I said yes to it. I said yes to opportunities where I got to learn and teach, where I got to absorb something and then contribute. And, you know, I wouldn't have ever thought, oh, I'm going to be a coach one day when I was a lot younger. But I started studying quantum physics and personal growth and expansion, and it was just what I loved. And so I would absorb it and teach it and absorb it and teach it. And, you know, pretty soon, I started watching people on stage and going, oh God, that's so inspiring and it's so amazing. And I would do it this way. And you know, my life experience combined with that, I would have a different answer. And it started building up my belief in the fact that my message and my answer and how I would teach it was valid and could be valued, you know? And so it wasn't like a quick and fast, you know, now I'm a coach and instantly everything is, you know, I'm wildly popular message. It's a slow and steady race, you know, and you put your message out there and you put it out there and sometimes you think it stinks and some people like it and you keep going and then, you know, you get better and better at shooting videos or doing it on, you know, and you take on clients for free and, you know, you start coaching them. And I look back and I see like a card that I sent my brother when he graduated from high school and I was just in college. And I had some of the same messages in that card that I do now to the women that I coach. You know, anything really is possible. Like you are energy and you can be and do and have anything you want in this life. And you have personal power to create that. Like he sent me a card once that I wrote to him and I was like, really? I was 20. I was like, what? That was before I was fully submersed in all this and learning all this from the different gurus and mentors. And so I think there is a vein of a soul assignment there that like, it was my soul assignment to teach and to have this message. And there's a soul creation, like a manifestation of it, because I said yes to it and I chose it and I got better at it. And I put in my 10,000 hours into coaching so that I would get better at it. I'm like now to this point, so solid on my message, so solid on my coaching, so solid on what I want to share that it's like second nature to me.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time and a lot of commitment to get it there.
Yeah, I think we were talking before we hit record about how both of us have been doing what we do in some way for like over a decade. Like I stumbled into kind of the track that I'm on in high school. You've been like on this track too before you knew it, like from a very young age. And we were just kind of riffing on the fact that so many people want this to be here overnight. And I'm sure you've had people say to you too, like, oh, well, you make it look so easier. It comes so naturally to you. And like, there is an element of that natural, that pull and that draw and that, like, you know, the ember inside of you of like, this is, you know, something I'm meant to do. But it's also the skill building and the practice. And like both of us have had so many reps at doing this stuff. And so
practice makes natural. Practice, continue. I'm sure you see a major difference from your first podcast to now.
Yeah.
Like I see a major difference from my first reel to my reels now. And that I just started doing reels like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a major difference and they come so easy for me. And I, you know, but like you mentioned too, you can't look at someone's, you know, decade later and compare that to your first day because there's such a major difference when you practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what if you have someone who is, you know, thinking, I know that I'm meant for more. I know I'm meant for this. I think I should pursue X, Y, Z, but I know it's going to like take a long time, or I know it's going to be hard, or it feels really far away. Like, what is your advice to that person? Because the time is going to pass regardless, right? So what is your advice to the person that knows that like this big change or their big vision is going to take a long time to manifest and it'll take the reps? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we kind of reconcile the climb, if you will?
I mean, action is what helps create it. Like I always tell people, don't think, just do. Mm-hmm. Do and do and do, because when you take the action, you help fine tune it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to take action on creating my happiness coaching business to fine tune what my coaching was going to be. You know, I didn't create the standards of my coaching and then start teaching it. I started teaching it to create the coaching standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I started teaching it to then create this formula and that formula. And it all happened because I was doing. Mm-hmm. Because I listened to that spark, that ember, and said yes to it, and then started doing to help it form. You know, you just got to start doing.
Yeah. And you get so much more clarity from the action. Yeah. And like the, even if you quote unquote fail, like the feedback that you get from that is so valuable.
Yeah.
And so I always tell my clients, I'm like, you're not going to get clarity just by sitting here and thinking about it and like trying to untangle it up in your head. Like you need to try it on. You need to do stuff. Yeah. You need to see what sticks. You need to find like your voice. And the only way to do that is the practice and the reps and like, and being curious. Yeah. About it. So I love that you brought it back to action, because something that you're an expert on is manifestation. And I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand manifestation as just being like, oh, I put it on my vision board, or I said that I wanted this thing and now I just sit back and wait for it to come. Like, where does action come into the equation? Because there is an element of like releasing the how and like receiving. How do we balance all of like the equation of manifestation, or how do you look at that equation?
Oh, I love it. It's such a good question. And so the basics of the law of attraction is ask, believe, receive, right? That's what's been taught for centuries. And to me, that's just far too elusive. And it does, receive doesn't say take action. So I break down manifesting in a different, very different way. I look at the step one is to focus on the end result and how you want to feel.
Yeah.
So the end result, so we're not talking about like asking for a new job. We're talking about the end result, meaning I want to feel really valued. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to feel like a part of an unshakable team. I want to contribute in a big way, right? Mm-hmm. That's the end result, because you don't need it to be that specific job. You're like, well, I don't really have to have it at that job. I just want that end result.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Focus on the end result and how you want to feel, how it would make you feel to have it. So step two for me and my manifesting is now you ask, but you ask a different ask. You ask the universe to show you how to get to that end result.
Mm.
So instead of asking for the job, you're now asking, show me the way to that feeling.
Okay.
Show me the multiple avenues that might come. Unveil the path to more of that feeling. Show me how to get there. This is what I'm excited about. This is the end result feeling. Show me how to get there. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different ask from ask for the thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Step three is take inspired action on all of the guidance you get.
Mm-hmm.
So it's action, but it's different because it's inspired action based on an ask of an end result feeling. Mm-hmm. So then we have to tap into our intuition and to our guidance, because we're always being guided. Everything is guidance when we get into that place.
Mm-hmm.
So now I need to take action on the guidance. So I just had guidance the other day to reach out to this wonderful friend of mine, Rita, and give her the outline in the first chapter of my book to just ask for her feedback. I know she's going to go, wow, holy wow, Stephanie. And like, but I keep getting that guidance to reach out to Rita. And I'm like, oh, I have to take immediate action on that guidance, because you never know where the guidance is going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
The guidance is going to find the how. So we are not focused on the how. We're not in control of the how. We just ask for the end result feeling. We say, show us the way. And then we take inspired action, the downstream action, the action that feels good, the action that keeps nudging you, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just had action the other day. I wrote a book in 2018. It's called How to Be a Badass Mom. And you are a badass mom. And I drove by the local bookstore where I had my book, and I haven't been there in like a year. And I was like, oh, I got to drop off more of my book. I'm writing another book and be smart to drop it off. And I keep driving by and get that nudge. Duh, it's a nudge for a reason.
Yeah.
So I literally walked right in the door, took immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
So step one, I'll go through them again. Step one, focus on the end result of how you want to feel. Step two, ask for the universe for inspiration, how to get there. Step three, take immediate action on the signs that the universe gives you. And step four, be grateful no matter what. Be happy in the now.
Yeah.
So that's the detachment piece that you mentioned, right? We want that end result feeling, but we can also be detached from all the how when we're happy in the now. And when we go, I'm okay no matter what. Mm-hmm. Hey, what if Rita never gets back to me? What if she thinks it sucks? That's okay. Hey, what if they don't want more of my books? That's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be okay no matter what, because I know that end result thing is coming, and the happiness is the art of allowing.
Mm-hmm.
The gratitude is how you fast track it. Mm-hmm. Like being okay no matter what, that's what you're after anyway. So it's like getting that thing in advance. It's like a hack. It's like a super hack.
It's so interesting too, because when you can detach from the outcome and detach from like that immediate action as well, it makes it easier to take action, right? Because you're not making that action like a life or death thing, right?
Yes,
it's not like that like Rita's feedback, right? It's not that Rita's feedback is like the one thing that's going to get you the result. And so then sending her your chapter is like not a big deal. You're not going to self-sabotage. You're not going to get in your head about it. Like you can take the fast action because it's neutral.
Yep. Great point. Yeah. Exactly. Because the action just becomes the different avenues that it may happen, because I'm not attached to the how. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to ask Rita that, and I'm going to drop my book off to there, and I'm going to create a book proposal, and I'm going to submit it to these big name publishers. And if that one doesn't pick it up, oh, so well, so what? You know, if that one doesn't, so what? You know, maybe there's another avenue for the big end result of me helping more women find more daily happiness and have their best soul experience.
Yeah.
So even my book is not an end result. Mm. My book is one how that I've been taking action on, right? So let's say my book never gets out there, never gets published. And like, so if my end result is I want to help more women find more daily happiness and have their best soul experience, then I just keep taking action on the things that come that will support that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
It's a different
okay,
look
too.
At manifesting.
I love it.
It's a more advanced look at manifesting,
yeah.
To be honest. And it's with more tangible to-dos.
Right.
Than
that's what I was going to say.
We've received, you know?
Right. That feels very up here, like very airy, very ambiguous.
Yeah.
And
tangible.
I think,
yeah,
especially for the people that are like newer or skeptical or just like unsure, mm-hmm. About manifestation, like having some more tangible, tactical pieces and like steps versus just like, mm-hmm. be in the vibe. It feels
right.
more doable. Like it feels more attainable to someone who isn't like naturally in the flow, if you will. Mm-hmm. And, but so for that person, something that you keep mentioning is like the nudge or get like, it came to you that you needed to send your chapter to Rita. Like mm-hmm. what are some examples of what that could feel like? Cause I think this is also something where if you don't know what you're looking for and you've been closed off to receiving these nudges or this little guidance, like you don't even know what you're looking for. Right. So like, mm-hmm. what are some examples or how should people start being open to this guidance or these nudges in the right direction?
Well, I mean, I encourage my clients to look at everything as a sign, mm-hmm. everything as guidance, take it all. You know, and do it joyfully and mm-hmm. do it with some fun and excited anticipation because, you know, like you mentioned before, there's no mistakes. There's no downside to taking action and to looking at everything as like, oh, I just saw a cardinal. Oh my God, that means that my book is going to be published. Oh my God, that means I'm on track. Oh, I just saw 11/11. Obviously everything's working out in my favor. Oh,
yeah.
I just hit a green light. Oh, that means the universe has my back. Like we really can be delusional in our guidance, everything as guidance. And I think that's just tapping into life's magic because mm-hmm. you're raising your vibration and you're good in a good energy state.
Yeah.
So I think
there's like no downside, right? Because even if you hit the red light, you're like, oh, perfect. This is like
now
teaching
the red light.
Me patience the red light is like, there's traffic up there anyway. It's protecting me from like frustration or whatever.
It's staying in positivity and looking at everything as guidance. We get better and better at going, oh, that's a nudge. That's guidance. Oh, that is too. And mm-hmm. like, I got to write everything down, like in the notes on my phone. Oh, mm-hmm. that's because I get a lot of guidance when I'm working out, mm-hmm. when I'm meditating, mm-hmm. when I'm working out, or when I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
Or when I'm in nature. Those mm-hmm. are the ways that the guidance
Me
comes.
Too. Me too.
And so, and I would also encourage people to do something that helps you drop into your guidance. I call it a drop in, like a meditation, like just even, you know, getting quiet, putting your hand on your heart, following your heart, asking, right? Mm-hmm. So usually people say like, oh, but I don't know, what's guidance? How can I find guidance? But they're not even stopping and closing their eyes and mm-hmm. going and asking.
There's no space for it.
Show me the guidance, right? Show me guidance. Because then something's going to come and like a door is going to open. You're going to go, oh, I think that's a sign. So mm-hmm. Drop in more, like trust. Follow your heart, look at everything as a sign. Everything is guidance because we are ultimately connected to mm-hmm. our own higher self and to source. So mm-hmm. everything is guidance.
Yeah. I also have heard people recommend kind of doing like daring the universe of like, show me this, right? Show me this random thing.
Yeah.
And it comes through. Like, you know, you can
show me
a purple hippo.
Yeah. 24 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And you will see it, whether it's on a tattoo or on a commercial or out in nature, you will see it. So mm-hmm. that's a great way to start building up your intuition and your trust in the universe. Mm-hmm. But I say leap and just trust.
Yeah.
And that will appear. Like delusionally trust and expect it to be there.
Yeah. There's science to this too, right? Because I've heard that our brain is processing like 50 million, a million, 11 million, 10, some millions number of like data points in any minute, second, I don't, mm-hmm. a lot, all the time. But we only get through, like, we only consciously process like 50, mm-hmm. right? And that's what our mm-hmm. reticular activating system does, right?
Yeah.
And when we program our reticular activating system to notice something, all of a sudden, it comes through. Like if you're like, I think I want to get a white Land Rover Discovery. That's kind of type of car I drive. Like all of a sudden I started seeing Discoveries everywhere, right? That's like what the reticular activating system. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what that does. And so I think also if people are skeptical, like there's science to support that, like we will see whatever we're seeking too.
Well,
like, that's how our brains work.
There's something in science called the observer effect. And when an observer, a scientist, expected a certain outcome in a scientific experiment, that certain outcome would happen more often.
Mm.
I mean, so yes, it's scientific. And, you know, there's such a deeper thing to what you're saying, that what we focus on, we create more of. What we look for, we see, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just said, well, when I look for that car, I see more of that car everywhere. Our stories and our focus creates, right? So
yeah.
If I have a story that is, you know, my husband is too negative and he's such a bad communicator and we're fighting all the time, that's mm-hmm. all I'm going to see.
Yeah.
Even when he is romantic and kind and sweet and loving, I'm not going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, I'm getting all this input. All I'm going to see is the input that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So our stories create. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, oh, I'm a terrible mom. My kids are so misbehaving. They're so incredibly disrespectful. Then I don't see their kindness and thoughtfulness
yeah.
and their softness and sweetness. You know, when I'm like, oh my God, my message is so stupid. Nobody's ever going to follow me. I'm not going to see when it's making an impact. So
yeah.
Our stories create. It's not just like I'm going to focus on a rose and see a rose. It's like our deeper stories that sometimes have been built and created throughout our lifetimes. We have to look at our stories, see if they're serving us, and write new stories that are aligned with what we want,
mm-hmm.
or else we are only going to see that.
Yeah. So then what is that process? If someone's listening to this and you just kind of gave them a ping of like, oh, I am like buying into this story and it's definitely not serving me. It's not getting me more of what I want. I want to choose a new story.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know when you first are like, okay, I'm choosing this belief instead. Like it
yeah.
feels false, right? It feels like
I have a much better new story process.
Okay.
So much
great.
Better than,
great.
Yeah. Cause it's hard to just go, oh, okay. So then yeah, I'll just focus on my husband is romantic and amazing. And my
right.
kids are perfect. And my message is wildly popular. No,
right.
That doesn't work. That's BS, right?
Yeah.
So I have a way that I stumbled on to create a new story that
Amazing.
Really works. So when I'm writing a new story, like I'll use my husband, this experience with my husband, for instance, because I literally had this story of him being too negative, him not being into this work, him not, you know, us not communicating well, you know, him complaining too much. And mm-hmm. I had that story. We've been together for 27 years.
Yeah.
Those stories happen in relationships over a long period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty typical and it's understandable. Like you're together a long time and the praise and appreciation starts to diminish and the complaints and criticism start to rise. And so we can see why we start to see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had enough of that old story. I was like, I need to change the story to see a different result.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I would write a new story. A new story, writing a new story for me has a couple elements. Number one, I keep it really light and easy. Like I'm mm-hmm. literally writing to a best friend.
Mm.
So like, I'm like, hey, I am so excited to tell you. I'm so happy and excited to tell you about me and John.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep it really light and easy. And I focus on the feeling, not on the how.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful and so happy that things are just lighter and easier with John and I. I mean, I don't know if he changed or if I changed or if he got lighter or I got lighter, but it is more fun.
Yeah.
We're feeling so connected. We're just like really complimenting each other
mm-hmm.
and, you know, spending fun time together. And like, I see him open and excited about things that I haven't seen in so long. And like, I can't wait to see him at the end mm-hmm. of every day. Like, I just can't get enough of him. And I love him in a way that I have always known that I loved him, but that I haven't seen in a while. And it feels so good.
Yeah.
Right. So that's all talking about the feeling, and it's light and it's fun. And it's not like we are going on date nights and he is being romantic. He is my love language and he's communicating better and he's this, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, and not say, and saying like that he's perfect and that we're like, that doesn't work. But what works is keeping it light and easy. Like I write it down. Like I'm writing to a best friend, like I'm away at summer camp and I'm writing to my best friend, and I keep it focused on the feeling, not on the detailed specific how, because now this new story, I can work on this new story. And if I write this story every morning and every night, I'm finding evidence to this new story. John sent me the sweetest text today. That's evidence. You know, we had an amazing dinner. That's evidence. He asked me about a date night this week. That's evidence. He was so open when I had this issue that I needed to talk to him about. And I just wanted him to hear me. And he actively listened. Oh my God, it was beautiful. It was like foreplay. It was amazing. It was so great. Yeah. Evidence, evidence, evidence. So I write the new story and then I'm looking for evidence because now that's my world.
Yep.
Now the world that I'm seeing is this new story. And here's the really fun, amazing piece. My action starts aligning with my new story. So where action before used to align to the old story. So like I have this story that he's too negative and that he's too explosive. And then I hear him stomping down the hallway, walking toward my son's room. And I hear them getting into it, right? Before I'd be like, darn it, here he goes again. And my actions are responding to my old story. So this almost exact scenario happened. Now I'm into the new story. I'm happily into the new story and I hear that example and I approach it with curiosity. I walk in and I see them like playfully wrestling and I'm like, God, is he amazing. So my actions would have aligned with my old story and perpetuated an old story, even if it wasn't there.
Yeah.
But now my actions align with the new story and that's all I see. It's so magic. And it's available to all of us.
Yeah. That feels so much better than, for example, writing like, I am abundant. Yes. I am a millionaire. Like in your morning journal and just being like, I am this. The affirmations that just like feel really hollow, you know?
Yeah, right, right. 100%. Those goals and affirmations and that just feel empty. They feel like BS because they are. Your belief is not there on that. So this new story process is really great.
Yeah.
Really fun. You got to try it.
Yeah. I absolutely will. Literally after we get off this, I will. I want to follow the thread of like you and your husband for a minute, because as I was researching you and learning about you for this episode, I came across your Valentine's Day post and you were saying how you met your husband when you were only 15. He was 11. And obviously that was not like when, you know, you guys were...
He was trying. He was asking me to make out with him at a block party. He was like,
I love the confidence.
Oh gosh, totally. He was so confident and so certain. And he was pursuing me. And I was like 15, totally awkward. No one else interested in me. And so it was really alluring. He was so charming.
Yeah.
And he was in fifth grade. he was very tall for his age and you wouldn't have really known. But I was like, hey, bottom line is you'll make a good boyfriend in 10 years. And he said, will you wait for me?
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Yeah. Right. And he was like, no, I'll wait for me. I'll come for you in 10 years. And I promise you, I'll be that good boyfriend. And I was like, oh, haha. Yeah. Yeah, I will. So 10 years later, we ran into each other, at a bar, and he came up to me and said, hey, how come your boyfriend let you come out looking this good? I don't have a boyfriend, but, you know, thanks for asking. And he said, you know why you don't? Because you never gave me a chance.
Oh my
gosh. Girls
like
you always have boyfriends and there's a reason you don't have a boyfriend right now. That's because, and I go, yeah, the last time you asked me out, you were 11. So how are you now? He goes, I'm 21. You said you'd wait for me.
10 years. Well, here we are.
It's on. I was like, wow. I was like floored. And I was like, well, this will be a fun summer fling.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more than a summer fling because we dated for 10 years and got married on the 10-year anniversary of our first date, 20 years from when we first met.
That's so sweet. I love that.
And it's been perfect and blissful ever since.
Obviously, no problems, no growing pains at all.
Zero, yeah. None whatsoever.
Yeah. I feel like my husband and I are on a similar track. We didn't meet quite as young. We met when I was 17 and he was 20. But we first knew of each other when I was a freshman and he was a senior in high school. So we go way back as well. And we had kind of that inevitability factor that y'all had too. And something that has been really cool, but also hard sometimes to navigate is like when you're together with someone for so long. And like, I'm excited for us to get to like the 20 year plus mark. Like you guys, like that's amazing. But as you are evolving and growing, you guys have been completely different humans probably many times over since you met. And then when you officially got together, like what has it been like to navigate that evolution and those changes and your growth individually and together? Because I think that can be kind of a fear of like a lot of women who have big goals, high achievers. They don't want to, let's say, quote unquote, outgrow their partner. Like bring us into that evolution. Cause I'm sure there's a lot here.
I mean, I think, you know, for me, some of the keys to it is number one, for me, deep down is really radically accepting this soul assignment that we have to be together.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have soul assignments to be with their partner and they gloss over that. Like they don't allow that to be the lens with which they look at the relationship.
Mm.
Like John and I agreed to do this life together. How do I know? Because we're doing this life together.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because we have two children. How do I know? Because we've been together 27 years. Like other people might be in a similar situation to me and go, well, I don't know. How do you know? Well, I don't know. Are you with them? Are you married? Yeah. Do you have children? Yeah. Well, obviously you have a soul assignment to be together. Like we gloss over that. We look at this life from the human level and not from the soul level perspective. Mm. So when I look at it from a soul level perspective and I go, he and I agreed to do this life together, I look at him differently. Mm-hmm. And I am more open and I'm softer and I'm kinder and I'm more loving. Mm-hmm. And I'm more willing, right, to put us first and to be all in on the relationship, all in, no matter what. Like we never talk about divorcing each other or leaving each other. I will never let us because I know that we have a soul assignment. Like he's much more like compulsive and explosive than me and like fears that deeply. And I always tell him, I would never leave you. Mm-hmm. I love you no matter what. So there's that deep level of that. It's hard to get to that when we're in the middle of a fight.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to that when we have, you know, everyone has these patterns of like disconnection and repair and connection and disconnection and repair and connection, right? So it's easy to find that in connection. It's hard to find that in disconnection. It's hard when it's repair, but it's easy to connect, right? So I try and be the one that holds us to that. And I'm happy to be the one to hold us to that. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is, you know, we all are growing. Like from when he was 21 till he's 50, you know, he grew a lot. He got sober, which I would have never married him if he didn't get sober. So I think that's a piece of his soul assignment and our collaborative soul assignment. So he got sober and went on his own growth journey. I went on my own growth journey.
Yeah.
But throughout the decades together, we also have to hold each other to the standards that we now have. You know, I have completely different standards now at 53 than I did at 23 or 33 or 43. I have different standards. I have different standards for my lifestyle, for my health, for my wellness, for my mindset. So I can hold him to those standards, you know, and he can hold me to standards. Like he got sober 20 years ago. And imagine if I was still partying and drinking like I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work, right? I'm not sober, but I barely ever drink. And like that really suits us. So if he got sober and I was still drinking like I did in my 20s, that would not, you know, our standards would be too far apart. But we also, you know, we went through this recently where you know, I'm in a big wellness journey and I do peptides and I do, you know, cold plunges and I, you know, I can't go here with that and he stays here. he's on it with me now, you know, because I, as my standards grow and I grow, but I've also done that for him, you know? So I think there's this mutual growth together of, as our standards raise, can we meet each other's standards? It's a different way to look at it. But when we're willing to do that in a relationship, there's so much potential for the relationship, and the longevity is more solidified because of that powerful growth experience.
Yeah. So it sounds like your growth is very collaborative. Like, you're choosing what you want for yourself and what direction you want to expand in, but it's also, it feels like a collaboration that he's coming along with you and vice versa. He's embarking on something, you're collaborating with him on his goals. And it's like a beautiful kind of teamwork dynamic.
And it's messy. It doesn't always look perfect, and it doesn't always happen exactly aligned. Like, I started on a health and wellness journey way longer before he came along for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And so yeah, it's not, but when it comes to it, like, you know, yes, you can expect each other to rise to the standards, and we can hold each other to the next greatest version of we have of who that person is. You know,
yeah.
I said to my husband, like, hey, like, I know you inside. I know your soul, and I believe in you, and I believe in all of this. And like, I know that you could do better. He has said the same to me, like, come on, I see a better version of you in there. So us championing each other to the greatest version of who we know that person is, that's different than being like, I'm going to give you an ultimatum and I'm going to put my foot down and, you know, you better do it.
Like, you better do it or else. Yeah.
Right. It's completely different to say, I see you in there. I see you, and I know all of your potential, and you signed up for this with me. You signed up because you knew that I would hold you to that standard, that I would hold you to your highest self. So you're welcome. You know,
my husband and I literally have that conversation, because I'm definitely more attached to, or like excited about, the dream house and the like luxury vacations. Like, I really am excited about like life's, like curating the lifestyle.
Great.
And my husband is not as excited by that stuff. And he's like, but I knew what I was signing up for.
Yep.
Like, I knew when I chose you that like I signed up for this standard. I'm like, yes.
Exactly. And I knew that my husband was, you know, more bold and more explosive and, you know, has an Irish Catholic temper. And like, you know, he is just that person. He's a challenger. Right. And so I knew that. And he knew, he signed up for me and the personal growth and woo woo and spiritual and like airy, airy, great. So accept each other for that and harness the power of those things and support each other. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So you mentioned too, that sometimes there's a lag, right? Where you said you got really into your wellness journey. It took him a minute to catch up. In that lag time, are you focusing on simply like modeling the path and like modeling the journey? Are you really like being super like communicating about it? Are you mostly leading by example? Like, how do you handle that kind of in between time without getting resentful or impatient?
Yeah. Great question. And you nailed some of it, that like, you just lead by example. You know, I was just continuing to do it, and I was continuing to explore it, and I wasn't overly being his teacher and going, you need to do this. You know, I'm going, hey, here's some other options, you know, and wow, I'm finding a lot of success with this. And, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we were doing this together? But you're your own person, and you can make your own choices while holding on to the new story.
Yeah.
The new story that is, we're both on the wellness journey that totally fulfills us. The new story doesn't have to be, he's doing X, Y, and Z. He's doing these stride workouts with me, and he's doing this and that, and he's doing, right? We don't focus on the how. We go, I go, oh, it feels so good. It feels so fulfilling that we're both on the wellness journey that really suits us. It feels amazing. The general end result, right? And so I keep planting seeds of like, hey, this is working and it feels really good and it's pretty amazing and I really think you'd enjoy it, while holding the new story. And then pretty soon, like, my husband had this bad knee issue and he kept trying all of the strategies that he kept hearing and that he would work for him, right? Go to that doctor, get that shot injection, you know, take all these anti-inflammatories. Oh, it didn't work. Okay, try it again. Do it again. Right. He kept going on the same journey. And I'm over here going, well, I've got these other options with these holistic doctors and with these stem cells and with these peptides. And when you're ready, you know, we can try this. And after about 18 months, he came on board and he goes, I'll do anything. I mean, you could tell me that, like, I'm going to sleep on a magnet and hold crystals and, like, I'll do anything. Like, and he did. And 3 months later, his knee is perfect and amazing, and the best ever. And so now he believes even more in that. But I didn't, like, give him ultimatums. I didn't let it tear us apart. I led by example and held on to my new story.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And I think we've all had that experience of, like, coming to the fork in the road and coming to that point where, like, okay, I'm, like, willing to do anything. I'm willing to try anything. Something has to change. But, like, it takes everyone time to get to that fork in the road. Right. And, like, he needed his process, right? Yeah. Like, he needed to have that process. And I think that's something that I really am working on with my husband, is letting him have his process. Yeah. He's pretty good at it already. He's an Enneagram 9, so he's the peacemaker, and he really just loves supporting people through their journeys. And I'm a 3, so I'm very much like, well, we can do it. We can do it now, and we can have everything we want immediately, right? So that's, like, always an interesting dance for us. But what I really love is we both see, like, the highest potential in each other. It's just, like, how we communicate it.
Yes.
And sometimes be different, you know?
Yeah. And I find that what I found with John, and this doesn't just apply to my relationship, it applies in a lot of different areas of life, is where I gain the most success is when I have a balance between radical acceptance and boundaries. Mm. So when I radically accept who John is, and I have the boundaries around holding him to the standard or to his highest self, you know, sometimes you can tell you have way too many boundaries and not enough radical acceptance. I need you to be doing X, Y, and Z. And if you're not doing X, Y, and Z to this degree, then I'm out. Like, it's, it sounds ridiculous, but we've all been there, right? Mm-hmm. We do it with our kids. We do it with our, you know, our parents or our family members or our husbands. And sometimes we have the opposite. We have way too much radical acceptance. Okay, that's fine. You can, you know, I totally accept you for who you are. And then what if someone is really in a health issue, or, you know, they're not going to the doctor, or they're angry beyond words and they need some help, or they are obese and, you know, it's risking their life. Well, now we need some more boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So the balance of radical acceptance and boundaries is where I get the most results, right? Mm-hmm. In my health and fitness, radical acceptance and boundaries. In my work, radical acceptance and boundaries. In my relationship, radical acceptance and boundaries. When I balance those, and usually when I look, I can know right away when they're off track and what I need to do to balance them out better.
Yeah. Yeah. That resonates a ton, especially what you said about, like, in wellness too. For me, that was, like, learning the balance between, like, self-love and discipline and how those have to play with each other. Yeah.
Makes exactly. Sense. Yep.
So going more on this, like, wellness and kind of lifestyle track, I want to end with getting more insight on, like, the nitty gritty little stuff that maybe feels super obvious to you, but you've been in this work for, you know, a long time, and you have probably layered on so many, like, hacks and little things that people would love to try on. So what are some habits or rituals or, like, day-to-day things that help you stay, you know, in the flow and, like, support your happiness and your success and allowing your manifestations to come through? Like, what have you kind of layered together on a daily basis?
You know, this is totally my jam. I don't even think you know this, but I have a happy habits checklist for people.
Amazing.
That's what I put out there first forward, because it's so important, because our habits and our happiness set the tone for our day, right? Mm-hmm. So we can't manifest good stuff if we're in a terrible state, you know, and we're just hectic and we're responding to life. So yes, I've been, like, a habit hacker for a long time, because I saw results from the habits. So happy habits for me, you know, having a morning routine that fills me up, that is very, like, filled with things that I love. There's no, we don't have to listen to these male you know, morning routine gurus that are like, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and you have to do 20 minutes of this and 20 minutes
87
of that.
Step morning routine. Right.
Yeah, that works for them. Like, yeah. I help people design a custom morning routine that's exactly right for you, that makes you, that fills you up. Like, I love music in the morning and I love certain music that works for me. You know, I have now, I have this Soul Happy Daily Planner, and I'm not trying to sell this because I don't sell it. It's only in my courses and my mastermind. But I created this Soul Happy Daily Planner because it has in here, I write a new story every morning. I focus on my gratitudes every morning. I look at what might get in the way. I look at my important tasks. I look at, you know, how my higher self would handle anything that gets in the way. Like, this is all important work now, you know? Yeah. And so I do it daily. I never miss a day of this daily planner because it's a combination of all these things of like gratitude and, you know, focusing on what will raise my energy that day, focusing on what will keep me in a good mood, doing a soul happy meditation or any type of drop-in or meditation. My soul happy meditation is for manifesting, and it's connecting to source, visualizing an end result of how I want to feel, and asking for guidance. Like, it's like my manifestation hack is a soul happy meditation. And I can do that on the treadmill. I can do that in the shower. I can do that in my meditation space. It's very easy. You can do it in 90 seconds or you can do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So exercise, having a morning routine that really fills me up, that's very connected and very energizing, you know, lots of water, good healthy food, connection, you know, anything that puts me in a good state, all of those things are non-negotiables for me now. I do them on the weekends. I do them on the weekdays. I would never miss a day because my state matters too much, you know? And when you're, when you want to have, get the best out of your day, you have to make your state a priority and you have to instill the habits that will work for you to put you in a great mood and help you be at your best.
Yeah. And if you can get to the right state, that allows everything to be easier, like take the right actions and see the possibilities and see the opportunities. Cause I know when I wake up and I'm immediately reactive or stressed or reaching for my phone or whatever, like those are always the days where I kind of snowball in the wrong direction versus the days where I do take the time and I'm like, you know, everything else can wait. If I take 5 minutes, even 5 minutes, like, or 10 minutes or whatever to get myself right, we can snowball into the positive direction. But it's like just that choice at the beginning of the day changes everything. So because those practices are amazing.
So often we put our actions or our strategies first. And here I have this formula to create a new reality, which I stumbled upon when I was first doing my coaching business, because I was coaching someone for free, just like we said. And I was like, okay, well, here's how you create a new reality. Because we try and take action to create a new reality. But what we need to do is, I call it S plus S plus S equals R. Your state plus your story plus your strategy equals your reality. And in that order, your state matters. You have to prime yourself in the morning. How you feel matters. Then your story, your thoughts being aligned with what you do want and what you want to see, like we mentioned earlier, then the strategy and the action steps you take create your reality.
Yeah.
You can't just try and change the action and think when the story and the state are in the wrong place, you're not going to get the results that you want. State plus story plus strategy equals reality. Is the magic.
That makes so much sense. And even like the strategies that I would reach for when I'm reactive or in scarcity or whatever are totally different and not always effective, right? Compared to when I do
your state's in the right place and your story's in the right place, the actions that you take work. Yeah, because they're aligned. Exactly.
I love that. I love how you're able to take these kind of big picture, ambiguous, more airy-fairy, like you said, concepts and make them really tangible, make them really actionable. So all of this is like really lighting me up. And I think everyone's probably wanting more from you. So where do they go for all of your content, your programs, if they want to get the checklist, like where can they find you?
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram, Coach with Steph, and Steph is two Fs. I have a website, the same, coachwithsteph.com.
Amazing.
And you can access it. You can get the link to the Happy Habits checklist there on my site or on my Instagram. Yeah, I have a lot of things in the pipeline. So come and give me a follow and love connecting with my community.
Very exciting. Well, thank you for your time, sharing your wisdom with us. I'm really excited to play around with and implement some of the things that you've shared today. And I will see you around. Thank you,
Steph. Yeah, we know how it goes. Thanks, Marie. You're so good at this. I really loved it.
Thank you.